Welcome to Bible Believers Fellowship and the ministry of BBFOhio.com and our study in Luke chapter 22, verses 17 through 20, titled, The Body and Blood of Jesus. I'm Pastor Greg and I welcome you to this two-part study. You can find the conclusion at BBFOhio.com, where you can also find our contact and donation information. And if you're unable to attend our meetings in Worthington, visit bbfohio.com Sundays at 11 a.m. and Wednesdays at 7 p.m. for the live stream by scrolling down slightly for the live player that pops up automatically when we go live. With that introduction, let's begin with the current events update and then our study in Luke chapter 22, verses 17 through 20, titled, The Body and Blood of Jesus. This is part one.
Any comments to the end of the current events update? And we give you a reminder that God's Word is our authority, not Christian celebrities. The fact is, no human being. I'm not your authority. No human being is. But it's just strange how when Christian celebrities reach a status, there's certain Christians you're like, oh, you're saying they're wrong? How could you say such a thing? You know, I got in a lot of trouble with Christians when we put out a one-hour documentary on Billy Graham. And sorry about the microphone not being on there, onliners. But I don't judge a man's soul. I don't say whether a man's saved or not, but I do judge his words and his works. You're supposed to. And when somebody's doing something wrong, they need to be told they've been doing something wrong. And if they're a leader and they won't repent, then the body needs to be warned that they're doing and saying and teaching things that are wrong. Now, this lady has been a Christian hero since I was able to remember, you know, my earliest years. I think it was maybe 1980 when she first, I can't remember the year, but I think it was about 1980 when she came out with the El Shaddai big hit song and everything. Well, she's gone full-blown Sodom and Gomorrah on us. And she's just one of many so-called Christian contemporary music artists who have decided that they are not going to be followers of God and followers of Jesus Christ. They're going to follow their own heart. Well, your heart, the Bible says, is wicked, desperately wicked. Deceitful and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Jeremiah 17:9. And so she is blatantly, openly celebrating having her nieces same-sex wedding back in, I believe it was December. This happened a few weeks ago. And look at what it says, divides Christian community. Well, the division is between Philadelphia and Laodicea. Yeah. Go to Revelation chapter 3. Philadelphia is the church, the last church of the seven churches. It's the sixth and last that God says, you have kept my word. The Laodicean church is the fake church. You can be a church and not be a true church. We have the Roman Catholic church and all kinds of churches. The Mormon church, that's not a true church. But Laodicea has Jesus on the outside knocking to get in. The people inside are said to be blind and naked and poor. That doesn't describe a Christian. And so what we're seeing today is the dividing line between Philadelphia and Laodicea. And when the rapture happens, Philadelphia goes up. Laodicea stays here and serves the Antichrist. And the one main issue you're seeing the dividing point on is Sodom. Isn't that strange that Jesus said in the last days, as it was in the days of Lot, remember Lot's wife. Why? Because Lot's wife, Amy Grant, is Lot's wife. Every man or woman who is a, whether the contemporary Christian music artist, a preacher, or your own mother, your neighbor, doesn't matter who it is, if they are embracing Sodom, they are a fulfillment of that warning about Lot's wife. In 2021, Amy discussed the topic of openness with Proud Radio's Hunter Kelly. She said, quote, to me, right there, you're off. Don't, you know, get out of the habit of saying that. to me, well, I don't care about to you. I don't care about what your opinion is. I really don't. Not when we're talking about anything God said something about. And I hear Christians do that all the time, and it's a bad habit. To me, you're already on the wrong course. To me, it's so important to set a welcome table, because I was invited to a table where someone said, "Don't be afraid, you're loved, gay, straight, it does not matter." I got news for you. If that's all they told Amy, then she never got saved.
Right.
Yes. God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. But she's leaving out the part where you have to believe on Him, or you perish. And that's what people are leaving out today. You hear this all over the place in so-called Christian entertainment, Christian music. Love. Love. Well, there's more than one kind of love in this world. And only God's kind of love is the love that He honors. And He loves you. It says He commendeth His love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He's demonstrated His love for you. Now, you want to demonstrate your love for Him? Repent. Amen. And if you won't repent, then you're not one of His children. You're not a child of God. Of course, hey, you hear that all the time too. We're all children of God. No, we're not. You must be born again.
Amen.
If Amy loves these sodomite women, she'd tell them the biblical truth.
Amen.
She's proving that this isn't about those women, it's about Amy. Talking about her upcoming first bride and bride ceremony. That is her words. That's what she called it. They had this ceremony right where her and Vince Gill got married on that same property, on the side of a hill. The 62-year-old, which I don't know why that matters, they're referring to Amy there, called it, this is her words, quote, "a gift to our whole family to widen the experience of our whole family," end quote. Amy, and I'm talking to, like I'm talking to Amy because I know I can't just call her up. But I'd love to have a conversation with her. Say, "Amy, Jesus said, wide is the gate that leads to destruction. Narrow is the way to life, and few there be that go in thereat." I've known homosexuals, lesbians, men, women, and I have always appealed to them with love. I sat down with my boss back in, I was just a new Christian, first year as a Christian. And my boss was a lesbian. And I sat down with her, and I said, I won't say her name, but I said, "You know, I love you. I really do, like a sister." "Oh, isn't that? That's just sweet." And I said, "Well, I'm saying that because it's true, but I also want you to understand that because of that, I want to talk to you about your lifestyle choice and what the Bible says." "Oh, well, I've heard this before, but you go ahead. And she listened. And I said, "You know, you're no worse a sinner than I was or anybody else, but it's still sin. And God calls on us to repent toward Him with faith toward the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus died for our sins, and that includes the sins of Sodom. And He loved you and did that. But He can only extend His love toward you if you repent. And right now you're making that decision." And we had a very good conversation. But she, as far as I know, never did repent. These days, though, it's changed. You talk to people like that, you can be as nice as can be, and they get nasty.
Oh, yeah.
It's about a year later, a fellow, I'll use his first name, named Scott, a homosexual. And I said, I had the same conversation with him, and he repented. And within a few months, was baptized. Well, it was actually a few weeks. It wasn't too much longer after that. A few months later, he died. I'm going to see Scott again.
Amen.
Being a homosexual doesn't mean you go to hell. You go to hell for being an unbeliever.
Amen.
But in your belief, you repent of your sin. That's a definition
That's part and parcel of the definition of belief according to the Bible. And I just cannot believe that Amy Grant doesn't love those women enough to explain that to them. I don't want to hear you say, I love somebody. Show me you love them. Talk is cheap. Using the term bride and bride, think of that. Marriage pictures Christ and His church. And you are calling that a marriage and referring to two brides? Folks, God is the one who invented marriage.
Yep.
And God said it would be one man and one woman. And then He later revealed to us that it was to picture Christ as the groom, the bridegroom.
Amen.
And the female side was the bride picturing the church.
Amen.
And whether it's two men or two women, you are fulfilling Satan's agenda by blaspheming that picture that God has for the world in marriage.
Right.
People have asked me, you think she's saved? I've said this before, I don't know if you're saved. I only know I'm saved. I'm not being cocky or arrogant. I'm being humble enough to admit I can't read your mind or your heart. I don't know. I don't know if Amy's saved or not. But she's a Christian and can't see the blasphemy in this? That's a real problem. A real issue. I love Amy enough that if there's any way I would tell her this. I'd explain this to her. And I hope possibly out there somebody who hears this, or whether they hear it or not, I believe Franklin Graham, credit where it's due, he loves Amy enough that he's told her the truth. I don't know that he was able to contact her personally, but he was asked about it and he replied, and I think his response was a very good one. The article goes on to say Grant has strayed from some Christian views about homosexuality or against homosexuality, claiming ultimately loving God and each other is following His word. No, it's not. Not by your definition. If you love God and love others, then you love people enough to tell them the truth.
Amen.
Loving God and loving others means that you confront people lovingly in their sin.
Yep.
And we talked about it. Don't judge! That's a satanic lie. The Bible doesn't say don't judge, period. It goes on to explain that you're not to judge lest ye be judged, because you're to judge not as a hypocrite. So first, pull out the beam out of your eye, then you can see. See, there you're judging now. Once you pull the beam out of your eye, once you're right with God, then you can see to help your neighbor and pull the speck out of their eye. How do you do that? By judging. But you judge righteous judgment. And there's a big stinking lie throughout most Christianity and throughout the world saying we're not to judge. That's a satanic false doctrine.
Amen.
Jesus Christ never taught that.
Never. It was in our reading recently, wasn't it?
Yeah.
In Matthew. I think
Matthew.
We went past that part.
The fact is, it says she has strayed from some Christian views. She strayed from God's Word.
Yep.
That's what she strayed from. She said, to me, it's so important to set a welcome table because I was invited to a table where someone said, don't be afraid, you're loved, gay, straight, it does not matter. If she followed that up with the gospel call to repentance, then that would be fine. But there's no evidence, there's no record of her doing that. She's never told anybody that she's done that. And if so, then she's misrepresenting her position, because she should be telling people, I love these ladies, but I have confronted them with their sin and called on them to repent and believe the gospel. She's never said that. That's the commandment to every one of us, including Amy. And He said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. It includes all your sodomite friends.
Amen.
They'll get mad at me. And? So do not claim you love homosexuals, but you don't care if they go to hell unsaved. If you don't care that a homosexual is going to hell unsaved, then you don't love them. And that's true of anybody in any sin, any condition that are rejecting Christ. Acts 17:30, in the times of this ignorance God winked at, but now commandeth all men everywhere to what?
Repent.
Today's mainstream apostate Christianity is described in Romans 1:32, who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. Every so-called Christian you know who openly declares that they're an ally of a homosexual, that's them right there. God's described them in His Word. We see articles like this. Why are more evangelicals supporting gay marriage? Because we're in the last days and God said there'd be a great falling away. Why are we seeing more evangelicals supporting gay marriage? Because more evangelicals choose not to read the King James Bible. They go to the queer Bibles like the NIV. And then, number two, they choose not to go to churches that will preach against that sin. And that's producing what you're seeing all around you right now. And the parade of fake Christians continues to just go on and grow. This was just this week. A Jesuit father, James Martin, says gay marriage is marriage. Now, the Roman Catholic Church claims to be against gay marriage, so he should be defrocked. He won't be. The Church of England is to bless gay marriages under a bishop ruling. That's Prince Charles is the head of that church. Jesus is not. That's what happens when you have the wrong head. You can go to gaychurch.org. That's where people go to find churches where they'll not preach against this sin of Sodom. You'll never hear what you heard this morning in any church on that website. Here's five evangelical pastors. Their books are in evangelical bookstores and on evangelical websites. Tony Campolo, Rob Bell. Now, a lot of bookstores did remove his after he came out against hell and saying that we're all saved and no one needs to be born again. But he's still on some Christian websites. Jim Wallace, who serves as a wing of the Democrat Party. Jen Hatmaker, who is a very popular author among women, Christian women. And this Danny Cortez is big out on the West Coast. We will continue to back the Bible. We're not going to back gay marriage. We're not going to back Sodom. We're going to back the Bible. And to look up as we see Bible prophecy being fulfilled before our eyes. And that's what I just demonstrated to you this morning. That the Bible said this is going to happen right before Jesus returns. Hopefully you can grasp the importance of this and how it tells us Jesus is coming soon. He said, likewise also as it was in the days of Lot. That's Lot was in Sodom right before God destroyed it. Even thus shall it be in the day when the Son of Man is revealed. We're there. We're not waiting for that anymore. This is just one example in Australia. There now a third of Australians aged 15 to 24 identify as LGBT. While more males than females want to get married and have children, and a surpassing amount say they have a disability. So it's just a mess down in Australia, but it's getting that way here in the United States of America. All right. I titled this, The Body and Blood of Jesus. We're going to read verses 17 through 20, picking up where we left off. He had just said, I say unto you, he's instituting at the Passover, at what they call Seders. This is on, we'll show you on the chart, this is the evening that begins Nisan 14, and by evening, the end of this day, he will have been crucified. And as he's instituting the Last Supper at this Passover Seder, in verse 16, he says, For I say unto you, I will not any more eat thereof until it be fulfilled in the kingdom of God. And that we talked about as a wonderful promise. Now I'll begin in verse 17. You join in the evening, and we'll just read through 20. And he took the cup and gave thanks and said, Take this and divide it among yourselves. For I say unto you, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God shall come. And he took bread and gave thanks and brake it and gave unto them, saying, This is my body which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me. Likewise also the cup after supper, saying, This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you. Amen? Amen. So this is Passover, the last Passover that Jesus will take part in and before he returns. And before moving on, I want to address a question brought up last week. Brother Rick
brought up a text that I want to address because it is important, especially after I reviewed the information. We charted this Passover week. Now, you'll hear it referred to as Holy Week and Passion Week. And we put this chart on the website. You can see it at bbfohio.com, where it says, "Now when the even was come, they sat down with the 12." That's we're putting the times there. These are approximate times. But Jewish reckoning isn't from midnight to midnight the way you and I think of it. Jewish reckoning is from sunset to sunset, which is around 6 p.m. this time of the year. So around 6 o'clock, sometime probably a little after that, it says when even was come, he sat down with the 12, and that's where we're at here in Luke. He sat down with the 12, and they're observing Passover, which means they've killed a lamb, and they're eating, and they have lamb. For the first time ever, I had lamb in meatloaf. What was that, Tuesday or Wednesday this week? And my wife is always finding new and inventive ways to keep me fat. And it's really good. But they didn't have meatloaf, but they had their lamb around sometime a little after 6. Then it says the third hour is when they crucified him. Well, the third hour, again, we're speaking in biblical Judaic terms. They started counting around sunrise for the daytime. And so the third hour would have been around 9 a.m. And then you look on the chart there, he dies before sunset that same day. So that's all going to happen in this week that we're reading about in Luke 22. Now, I had said this, the biblical commandment was changed through time to a temple observance, which explains the appearance of two Passover observances at the time of Christ. Because a lot of people come to this and they say, well, why is there a Passover at that time that we see on the chart? Let's go back to that. Why is there they're having Passover here, they kill the lamb, they're having Passover. But then we know at 9 a.m. he's crucified and he's on the cross as they then offer a lamb at the temple. How does that work? And well, as I had said it this way, and I'm going to tweet that with a confession. This may hurt my reputation as the infallible, most right-wing bishop of Worthington. And I believe Jenny visited Maryland yesterday. Maryland of New Jersey was making fun of me. But we had a Facebook group, and some people were claiming I was a dictator and all this because I wouldn't allow them to push heresy. I said, you know, we're free for discussions, but they were teaching. There's a group teaching that if you followed this particular diet, you would never get sick or die. I said, well, the curse is still the curse. That can't be true. And they got mad at me for it. So anyway, long story short, she made this nice little representation of the infallible, most right-wing bishop. But I should have said the biblical commandment was to change the observance of Passover to the city of Jerusalem. And that's why we see, now, they still had the two going on, and I'll explain, really, it's for practical reasons, they couldn't just have it at the temple. But the reason why Jesus is having Passover the first part of the day, 6 p.m.-ish, right, after 6 p.m.-ish. And then he's on the cross and they're just then offering the lamb in the temple is because of that change that took place. So my change, the word was right, but the explanation was wrong. And so they would then observe it in homes and even what we would call tents, but they actually would put like booths, they call them, and they would use, it wasn't like a pup tent like you can buy down at Sporting Goods. So you'd have this observation in homes and at the temple in Jerusalem. So God commanded this change once the Hebrews arrived in the land. You get the first Passover in Exodus 12. Numbers 9 is the second one, and it's the same as Exodus 12. But eventually, this change takes place, and he talks about them only offering that Passover in the place where I've chosen to put my name, and that place is Jerusalem. So, scripture with scripture, this is Moses speaking of the Passover observance in the future.
after they come in the land, once the Hebrews are there in the promised land. Look at Deuteronomy 16, if you could. Let's look at that real quick. Now some might say, well, why is this important? Well, number one, it's important for me to correct my inaccurate statement last week. It was off that much and needs to be corrected. But it's also this. Heresy begets heresy. Error begets error. Even little things like what we're talking about now, cults have developed whole systems around little errors like that. We should be very careful with God's Word. So here in Deuteronomy 16, now remember, Nisan and Abib or Aviv, those are three different words for the same month. So here it's called Abib in the King James. Observe the month of Abib and keep the Passover unto the Lord thy God. For in the month of Abib, the Lord thy God brought thee forth out of Egypt by night.